Thank you for that. I tell you what, a lot of folks have been saved because they were listening to gospel music that had an invitation in it. And, O Lamb of God, I come. No telling how many folks have been saved while that song was being used as an invitation song after a sermon been preached. And we appreciate that very much. I want you to open your Bible to Matthew chapter 19, first book in the New Testament. Go with me to the 19th chapter. Going to read a few verses, beginning in about verse 27. And we'll talk to you a little bit this morning on the coming regeneration. And I hope you know what the word means there, but if not, we should get it across here in the message this morning. In the context of the chapter, the rich young ruler has come to Jesus, but he didn't want to give up his riches. And he went away lost because he went away sorrowful because he was lost. He was into materialism and he couldn't, the Lord challenged him and tested him and he couldn't turn it loose to come to the Lord. So in a sense, he rejected the invitation. But also in the chapter here, started off in chapter 19 with the Lord having to straighten the Pharisees out a little bit about marriage and divorce and all that business. But then Peter is going to ask a question that all of us sometime ask. And I want you to pick it up with me now in verse 27 of chapter 19 of Matthew. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? I guess probably that's the biggest question in America right now is what shall we have therefore? Selfishness, covetousness, materialism is ruling our day today. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, here's the word, in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones. You know, I was thinking about that. You know why we have 12 men on a jury in a court? This verse. See, this is a time the Lord is talking about judgment. A jury is a group that judges, amen? And so he tells them here that when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or fathers or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And that's the last verse I'll not get into. It deals with Israel receiving first calling and then being rejecting the Lord and the Lord turning to others also. But that's not where I want to go this morning. I want to say to you, Peter's asking the question, what shall we have? And Peter don't seem to be too shocked though when the Lord uses a big old word. He uses in the not a, but the one, the regeneration. He is telling Peter a new time is coming. Something is going to be different. It's not going to always be like this. And Peter doesn't seem too shocked about this. He seems to kind of know maybe the Lord's already taught some. You see, all that Jesus did is not written in the Bible. God chose what he wanted to, and John later told us that all the books of the world couldn't hold it. And so we know the Lord taught him a lot more than we have recorded here, but he wanted Peter to think ahead and think to a time, a new time that was coming, a time here that he calls the regeneration. It's a balancing up time. You know things aren't right in this world, don't you? You know fairness and judgment is perverted in this world. You do know that, don't you? Bad things happen to good people in this world, and seems like sometimes good things happen to bad people. It's all kind of fouled up, mixed up, but there's a time coming it's going to balance up. Amen. I remember when I was a younger man and was working a job where I had a service route, and one of the places I stopped once a month was a big home that was dedicated to children that were deformed, crippled by disease, other things. And I remember going in there, and it always got my heart as I walked around and I saw all the suffering and all the deformity and all those that were crippled, and some in their mind and some in their body. And I couldn't help but think, I'd just been saved, I was a new Christian, but I couldn't help but think, dear God, there's got to be a balance in time. I've got it too good, some's got it too bad. And the truth is, one day there is going to be a balancing up time. Now, I want to say some things this morning about that coming time. That time, I'm going to say the regeneration. There is a regeneration. Says thee, not a, not many, but one. The Lord Jesus is saying there's a generation, regeneration, not a generation, but a regeneration, a recharge, a straightening out, a repowering, a fixing up, a regathering that is promised. The regeneration is promised. I want to say to you, it'll be different. It'll be different now. Evil seems to win today, don't it? Seems like it does much of the time. And suffering is present today. Now, the Apostle Paul said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. He said, look ahead. This isn't all of it. There's a time things are going to get fixed. There's a time things are going to be set right. It'll be a different time. Job said this about man's life. Now, Job was a wealthy man, but look what happened to him. Lost his wealth, lost his health, lost his friends, even his wife. Told him to curse God and die. Amen. Truth of the matter is, Job said something that's very true still today. He says that man, talking about the life of man, is a few days and full of trouble. We'd have to admit that is the case. You know, the best. Now, you may be having a good life. You may have had a good one, but you didn't have it perfect all the time. You had trouble. That's when we have hospitals and jails and all kinds of things, because evil exists in this world. And we may be a few days and full of trouble, as Job said. Now, thank God for the good times. But even the best lives, best relationships, best time, do you know it still ends in the indignity of death? You deal with all I see, and you find out this is a dead-end street, this old world is. As good as it may be for a while, there's something bad down the road. There's some pain down the road. There's some suffering down the road. There's some mistreatment down the road someday, sometime in the future. And it'll end that way. Finally, if the Lord Jesus don't come for the saved, death's got me marked and got you marked. Do you understand that? And I'm not trying to discourage you this morning. I'm just saying let's face some reality, some honest reality. And, you know, I think about it like this, and I know I'm speaking for you as well as myself. I've had some really good times, haven't you? I'm not talking about fun. I'm talking about precious times. I'm talking about that was real and genuine. Now, some of us like me, we're getting older, and we don't have as many good days ahead as we've had behind, and we understand that. We got to see the doctor a little more often. We got to swallow a few more pills. We got a few problems here or there, and they're already catching up with us. And there's some things we used to could do we can't do now. And you know what's good, though, about getting old, young folks, listen to that. We still got our memories. Yeah, precious memories. We think back and thank God for those times. And you know what? We'll find ourselves sometime saying this: I wish I'd have savored that more. I wished I had understood when the kids were little and when they got in the bed and hugged my neck and all those precious times. Can't call them back. Thank God we got the memories of them. But there's a time coming when all the best is going to be what we have. Now we got a big mixture of it. And sometimes it seems like the bad outweighs the good. People in the hospital, people hurting, all those things. Kids going astray, parents. All kind of things that happen, we understand that. You know, death is a fear, the Bible says, for all men. But I want to say this about it for the believer. It's a shadow. It's not the real thing. We say, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Not death, but the shadow of death. 23rd Psalm. We come out the other end into life. Big difference. Big difference. I hope you know the difference. You see, death, though, do you realize that man is the only animal that knows he's going to die? Did old Rover come up to you and say, "Do you have an insurance policy on me?" Did the cat purr and say, "You know, I'm getting older"? No, they don't know they're going to die. The cows out there feeding on the hay and the clover, they don't know they're being fattened up to kill, do they? They don't know. They'd probably jump the fence and run away if they knew that. But we know. That's why we sell insurance policies, right? That's why we make medical appointments, right? You understand that? But thank God, it's not the end. There's a time of regeneration. Now, that regeneration is not just heaven. That regeneration is on planet Earth. You know, men have promised regeneration, but they can't produce it. They've always promised the utopian, the golden age, and the Shangri-La. And I remember when John Kennedy's wife, what was her name, somebody? Jackie, all right. Jackie tried after President Kennedy was assassinated, she tried to sell the newspaper reporters on the idea that John and I had a perfect marriage. We lived in Camelot. That's the truth. She did. And the reporters, they're easy to fake out, by the way. They wrote it. No, they were like other humans. They didn't have Camelot. Camelot was an imaginary time of great happiness under King Arthur and the Round Table and all that. All that is fantasy. All that was foolishness. Nobody has Camelot forever. Nobody has a wonderful time forever. There's heartache and pain and trouble that comes into everybody's life. Everybody's life. And man says, you just follow me. I'm going to give us a new world. I'm going to give us a new government. I'm going to give us everything. Going to be a chicken in every pot. No, no, no. It don't work that way. But in promising it, a lot of lives are lost. A lot of folks are deceived. The false utopias of this age. See, that's the carrot on the stick in front of the donkey's face. Anybody know what I'm talking about? He never gets the carrot. He keeps chasing it. And man keeps chasing perfection here, but it's not here. He keeps trying to say, "Give me your vote, and I'll bring in the utopia." But he can't. That's the human nature of man. But what happens in the meantime is a whole pile of people die chasing that carrot, chasing that false dream out there. And it's too bad. Countries where communism have taken over and killed a lot of people and all the bad governments of the world. And Hitler thought he was going to bring in, "I'm going to bring in the Third Reich. I'm going to bring in the Golden Age." But all the millions that was killed, it was a false thing. It didn't work. It was deceptive. And sadly, that keeps going on and on. Here's the justification for somebody like Hitler or Stalin or name whoever you want to. History's full of them. Just think about what their justification is. We're going to kill off everybody that disagrees with us, and then just us good ones are going to remain. I'm simplifying it, but that's the theory behind it. Anybody in here that's ever had chemo, you know what's behind it. The idea is I'll kill all your cells, and the strong ones will come back, and the cancer cells will be dead. To some degree, that may be true, but I don't like the plan. I don't like the plan of leaders that say, "Let me kill off the rest of the world and just us folks that are right will be left behind." But that's what's being sold. If you go up into Georgia, south of Atlanta, a little southwest of Atlanta, there's a park up there. It's a mystery. Nobody seems to know exactly how it came about, but it's called the Guidestones, G-U-I-D-E, Guidestones. And you go up there, it's sort of like Stonehenge in England, and you go up there and they got these stone monuments built up there, and they got all this writing on them, and that writing is I call them the tree-hugging environmentalist crowd that is writing on that stone what we're going to have to do to save planet Earth. As far as I'm concerned, it's a bunch of junk. But it's a philosophy that's been bought into in America big time. on those guide stones, it tells you Earth can only sustain about 1.5 billion people. Trouble is, we got 6.5, 7 billion on it now. They want to be the ones that tells us who should be left and who should be taken, killed. That's sort of Hitler again, isn't it? That's sort of the worst of our history again. And well, the Earth can only sustain 1.5 billion, and they want to be the judge who the 1.5 billion is that's left. I want to say, okay, if you believe that, you go first. You jump out of the airplane first. You leave us first. But that's a false philosophy that's going on. But man is going to bring in his own utopia. He's going to bring in his own kingdom. He can't bring in the regeneration. Jesus said there would be one, but man can't bring it in. He can't bring it in. Today we look around and see all the dilemma and politically and everything else in our country today, and all the fuss. America about to lose its borders, and everybody come in and we pay everybody's bills. I want to tell you, that's not going to work, folks. You say, don't you believe in building a wall? Yes, I do, with a hole in it. And I want Nancy and Chuck put through the hole on the other side. Amen. And after a while, I think we ought to close up the hole. But our country is being destroyed by a false philosophy. Man's not going to bring in the regeneration. He's not going to balance everything out. He's not going to correct everything. He can't do it. He promises it, and a lot of lives are lost following those false promises. No doubt about it. We got a crowd out there today that don't care if America's destroyed, long as they come to power. And they'll take our freedoms. You see where's she at? The woman that got elected in Michigan wanting to charge us 70% in taxes? That's going to be sweet. And then you got the mayor of New York going to give everybody free health care, including the illegal aliens. Did you see it? You know what? I wouldn't want to be around New York. I'd be afraid I'd be trampled by all the people that's leaving. I can't imagine myself being in that city and have a mayor foolishness like that. But it's a false utopia they're talking about. Now, it's been long planned. It didn't just happen recently. It didn't happen since the president got elected. They've had a plan to bring in their man-made utopia, golden age, whatever you want to call it, one worldism for a long time. The tools, the weapons of war they use are financial weapons. Yeah. Somebody said they're going to bring in the golden rule. Yeah, you know what that means. That means he that has the gold rules. And that's the plan that they have. This has been planned a long time, folks. I don't have time on a Sunday morning to deal into it very much. But let me read you a quote I wrote here down from Henry Kissinger way back, 1991. He's still alive, I think, today. I believe he is. But here's what he said in 91. Now, any of you alive in 91, you ought to remember this, maybe. He was over at the Bilderberg meeting in France, and a lot of Air Ones being quoted. I'm talking to you about their utopia there that they want to bring in, they can't bring in, but they kill a lot of people trying to bring it in. And Henry Kissinger said, today, America would be outraged if the UN troops came into Los Angeles to restore order. Today they'd be outraged, 91. He said, tomorrow they'll be grateful. Folks, we're close to tomorrow. Close to his tomorrow, no doubt about it. Tomorrow they'll be grateful when presented with a big enough threat, they will willingly give up their individual rights for a guarantee of their well-being granted by the one world government. They've been planning it for a long time. The struggle's been going on for a long time. And that is what it is today. Now, you can walk out if you want to. Let the door hit you in the rear if you want to on the way out. I want to say something to you. Trump messed up the agenda when he got elected. He wasn't supposed to. He threw a monkey wrench in their plans. They may overcome it and get right back on track, but it was on track. And rural America finally woke up and went to the polls. That's what happened. You say, why do they want the caravans to come in over the border? Because they see them as potential votes. Because they have lost the common man in America that wants to keep his guns. He wants to be free. He wants to live his life. He wants to have ownership of property. And you see, one world government's not going to give you that. They're going to give you total control. And they don't matter how many thousands or millions they kill to get that total control. They're not going to produce the regenerated earth, only Jesus is. They can't get rid of the penalty of sin, the wages of sin, which is death, but Jesus will. And he told Peter, don't worry about what you're losing now. Don't matter about the pain you're feeling now. Don't matter what you're giving up now. In the regeneration, it's coming. It's on God's schedule. Man's agenda is not going to be fulfilled. God's is. Amen. And the regeneration is a time that is coming. And God is representing that coming. And it's when he gets here, so what's going to happen in the regeneration? Well, if we had time to read Matthew 25, you'd read where the Lord's going to sit on his throne. It says sit in his throne. David's throne is what it's talking about on planet Earth. And he's going to call all the nations before him. Some of them are going to be designated as goat nations and some as sheep nations. And a judgment is going to fall by Jesus Christ as he sets up the regenerated earth, as he sets up the millennial kingdom. Hey, things are going to be different. Read Isaiah 11. The animals that now eat each other are going to lie down in peace together. Did you ever hear the song, I Like It? Somebody sang this. Hope you'll sing this as a special one these times for me. There's peace in the valley. Huh? There's coming peace in the valley. There's not much peace now. It don't last very long now. But there is peace coming. It's in the millennial age. It's in the regeneration. It's when the rose bush loses its thorns. It's when the lion and the lamb can lay down together. It's when the child can pat the serpent on the head. Read Isaiah 11. That time is coming. It's not now. It has not been since the fall in the Garden of Eden, but it is coming. And in the regeneration, those that have got right with God and belong to Jesus, like Peter there, he's going to have it all replaced. Oh, Peter, like us, he was simply saying, what are we going to have? What shall we have? And that's what we got going on in the world today. Grab it. Do somebody else before they do you. Dog eat dog. That's an attitude that's not going to exist in the regeneration. It's going to be a lot different at that time. But the nations will be judged by the Son of Man himself, by the Lord Jesus sitting in David's throne, and regenerated men will be in charge. Do you know today that there's very few born-again people in charge? And even if they are, they've been so brainwashed, they don't understand, but there's a day when the leadership, the power will be in the regenerated man, not in the devil's crowd. That's anti-God right now. All this stuff, you know, prayer out of the schools, can't say a prayer to graduation, getting rid of every kind of Christian symbol. That's not God's side. It's not just politics, folks. It's warfare over the soul of our nation, over the soul of the planet, and it's anti-Godism that's very apparent today, but Jesus is going to show up. This world's going to be regenerated like we can't understand. He can bring it in. Man can't bring it in. And I ask you a question. Which side of the fence? I might put it this way. Which side of the wall are you going to be on? Amen. You think I'm kidding a little bit, but you read the book of Revelation. The city has walls. It has gates. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It certainly does. But you know what? It's going to be a regenerated time. It's a balancing time. I come back, if you were to flip to it real quick for time's sake, Romans chapter 8, pick up in about verse 18. Listen to this. A balancing time is coming. A regeneration time is coming. When the curse will be lifted, when there will be peace in the valley. And I look here in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, for I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us, for the earnest expectation of the creature, and that's the whole creation, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. You know what that's saying? It's saying even planet Earth's going to have the curse lifted at the same time that the sons of God are manifested or are recognized, a time when depravity is broken. A time when the curse is lifted. Goes on to say, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willing. The earth didn't want to be put on the curse, but it was not willing, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Somebody said, I walked by the seashore and I picked up a shell and I listened to the sound. Did you? What did you hear? Well, I heard the roar of the ocean. No, what you heard was the groaning. Yeah, the groaning. You heard the groaning of a fallen nature in a soul world. Did you ever, if you lived like I did as a kid in a house that wasn't sealed too good, did you ever hear the wind whistle around the corner? What kind of sound does it make? It moans. This old earth is moaning and groaning under the depravity of man, under the curse of sin, and it's groaning and waiting till the manifestation of the sons of God, when Jesus returns in his glory, sets on David's throne, and when the nations are judged before him, and when the curse is lifted, and the regeneration is going to be much different than what it is now. Man's not going to bring it in, but Jesus is going to bring it in. Oh, yes, there is a glorious time coming. There is a victory time coming. There is a balancing up time coming. There is a time there'll be peace in the valley and peace everywhere else. Now, I want to tell you what's important. You need a personal regeneration before that regeneration comes. Do you know you can be regenerated? Do you know you and I, after we're saved, we are pilgrims passing through a sin-cursed world? It's a temporary place. We're not going to stay, but one day it's going to be changed into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And I want to say to you, all that is wrong now is going to be righted. Injustice is going to be destroyed away, and justice is going to take its place, and wonderful things are going to be like the Lord Jesus wants them as he rules and reigns on planet Earth. It will be a golden age. It will not be brought in by man. And the politicians won't do it. And the conspirators won't be able to do it. And the one world government won't be able to do it. And the Antichrist won't be able to do it. But Jesus is going to do it. He's bringing in the regeneration. Which side are you going to be on? I ask that a lot, because you have a chance to choose. Yes or no to Jesus, to his plan or the world's plan, to his plan or the devil's plan. His plan's good. Peter was asking, we've given up our fishing business. We've given up our wealth. We've given up some friends. What are we going to have? And Jesus said, you're going to get more than you can imagine in the regeneration. A lot of folks grabbing for all they can get now, and it ain't much. Excuse me, ain't, but it ain't much. But one day, in Jesus, gonna have it all. You'll have it all. And the best thing we have in him is he paid for our sins. And we got eternal life. And we're gonna rule and reign with him on planet Earth, book of Revelation says, for 1,000 years. And then it's only gonna get better throughout eternity. See, I don't believe all that, preacher. It's gonna be too late when you find it out if you don't receive Christ now. Let him be your Savior now. He wants to be. He won the battle over sin and death for you. He wants you to choose him now. I believe his promise. I believe he's going to do what he said. I believe it's going to happen. This world is coming to a dead-end street every way you look. We're in a climatic situation in America right now, but the whole world is. The only answer is Jesus. I wouldn't ask you to raise your hand right now, but if you got a better answer than Jesus, I'd like for you to come to the door and tell me about it. I wish you would, because I just can't imagine anything better than what he's already done for us. I want to tell you a personal testimony. He's my Savior. I've got the best future waiting out there. They may bury me before he gets here, but that's okay. I'll be with him. It'll be all right. I expect some of us here might not make it to the rapture. I'd like for the rapture to happen today, but if we don't, it's okay. It's okay. I'd rather go up instead of down with the undertaker. Sure I had. I'd rather go up with the undertaker, but I want to say to you, it's okay. I'm a winner in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm looking forward to the regeneration when things are going to be balanced up. I ask you this morning, would you consider coming and let Jesus be your Savior, your champion? He wants to be. He said, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. The lady was singing a while ago, coming to the Lamb of God, coming just as I am. Just as I am. Isn't it wonderful that he'll take you just as you are? Isn't that wonderful? He'll do it this morning if you'll let him. Let's bow our heads. Let's stand quietly. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, I've scattered around a little bit this morning, but I pray the truth might get it in somebody's heart. This world's not going to fix itself. The leaders, their agenda to put a one world government together is not the answer. Father, they continue to kill and kill and war and war. And it only gets worse. But Father, when you come, when you straighten it all out, it's going to be a wonderful time, a real utopia. A real golden age. I pray you'd help everyone in this building to look deep in their heart today and see for sure or know for sure they've trusted Christ. Not a church membership, not a baptism, not mama was good or daddy was a deacon. No, no, no. But personally, personally, they know the Lord Jesus Christ is their Savior. I pray you'd bless the invitation. We invite men, women to come just like I did one day when a preacher preached and gave an invitation. Like so many in this building did, others could come this morning that same way. I'm glad the door of salvation is still open. They can still come today. I pray you'd speak to hearts and your Holy Spirit would speak deep within that soul that needs an answer, that has no hope now and they know it. I pray the Holy Spirit of God would speak to them this moment and give them strength to come and receive Christ. For I ask it in his name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'm going to step to the front. Will you come? He'll take you just as you are. Will you let him? You come as we sing.
Just as I